time to get up, get out of bed. Fill your cup and get ahead with WKTN. 1-3-4-0.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
To the end zone and caught for the touchdown, McCoy. Milton to Brew McCoy. Milton gonna take a shot wide open and just strutting in is Keaton. Joe Milton does it again.
Best formation football there is. And that feeling for Josh Heupel. The Tennessee Volunteers are the champions of the Capital One Orange Bowl. And Joe Milton has got to feel great.
Rick Barnes, Bill Self shake hands. Tennessee, they're your champs. The Bad Boy Mowers battle for Atlantis goes to the Volunteers. And they were the bad boys from the jump in this one.
That's an interesting question. Oh,
wow. This is a moonshot. Wake up, squirrels. You got a visitor. Into the trees.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
You tell them I'm coming. And hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me.
They don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Some
we can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hats to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like a new.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Thursday edition of 3 and Out. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett, the gang's all here. Decided to turn that corner and head for the weekend.
Yeah.
Turn the old front of the sedan or truck or SUV south towards
sedan.
Hattiesburg.
Wow.
If you can get tickets. Anybody seen that? What's the cheapest you've seen tickets?
You think I looked for tickets?
$250.
And that's for the standing room only tickets out there in right field.
I did not look for tickets.
I saw people say, look, this team won at Clemson. That place was bananas. Southern Miss.
I thought the atmosphere for the Clemson game was a little underwhelming.
People who were there said it was pretty crazy.
Again, you're talking about television, Adam. You know, we've talked about this.
Some people say that's the better indicator.
You can't actually experience a place without being there.
Well,
no, I don't care if it's live in person. If it ain't live on TV, it ain't real.
I love Boston. You been there? Nope.
Most fans experience games on TV, not in person.
The players are in person. That's what matters. No. The players win or lose. I hate to tell you this, but the fans watching on TV have no impact.
Saving their funds for Omaha.
No impact at all. You can wear the rally cap. It does not matter.
They might have just
yes,
got
it does.
Tired.
You can hold a silver spoon at your television.
At work.
Figured you liked that.
Yeah, I love getting made fun of. Thanks, Nate.
What? It's all good fun.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel with you, Kress.
A gee, 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 gee. Hattiesburg.
Yeah, you feeling any better about it? Worse?
I feel fine.
Trying to make sure you peak it. It's a long wait till Saturday.
It's just funny, these people in Hattiesburg, like, trying to argue that Hattiesburg is a better city than Knoxville. Like, I'm not saying you don't like it. But to say, like, better.
Yeah, the correct reaction for a Hattiesburg fan, a Southern Miss fan in this situation, would be like, ha-ha, we got it, deal with it. That's it. That's where the argument stops.
You don't have to be like, yeah, well, we got it because Knoxville's a dump and Hattiesburg's awesome. But that's what they're doing, and it's just hilarious to me. I have nothing against Hattiesburg. I've never been. I will likely never go. But, come on.
Why do we always do that, though? Like, just as humans. Like, if Tennessee has a – I guess it happens more maybe in basketball, and not so much with us lately. We've been pretty good. But I feel like Tennessee fans, if Tennessee, like, pulled a big upset of Kentucky in the middle of the season, but everybody knew that Kentucky was still way better, we would still be like, see, we're better, told you. Like, everybody does that, right?
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, basically saying, ha-ha, you guys suck today. Can't believe we were able to beat you. Like, South Carolina fans are doing that to Tennessee this offseason. It's like, that's stupid. Like, everybody knows Tennessee was better than South Carolina last year on the, like, body of work.
Yeah, but they had a day.
But instead of just bragging about just the day, they try and extrapolate in these other things. It's like what Tennessee did after we blasted Kentucky, and then instead of just talking crap to Kentucky, as we knew we were better on them that day and every day,
immediately switched to Georgia.
We immediately tried to convince ourselves we were way better than Georgia.
Speaking of bragging,
instead of just waiting to see what happens.
One thing that I don't think we've mentioned this.
Is it because we're just insecure?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Adam, go ahead.
I don't think this has been mentioned. This was in regards to the Clemson game.
Uh-huh.
It's something I thought that was very weird. When ESPN showed Deshaun Watson walking around, taking pictures with fans at the baseball game, hopping him up.
Yeah. How did I even miss that?
Yeah, I missed that too.
Y'all missed that, well.
Did it happen?
Yeah.
I heard he was there. I don't remember seeing him.
They were talking about, I think they showed him on camera one time and were talking about how he was in the building. And I thought that was really weird considering he's been accused of like 35 sex crimes.
But he's a Clemson Tiger for life, Hickman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't know. Just wondering if I thought that was a little weird or that's a me problem.
No, it's weird. But also not surprising?
They're like, yeah, you come to Clemson so you can play in front of Deshaun Watson.
It was weird how they said that.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been that weird if they were just like, hey, Deshaun Watson's in the audience tonight. But they kind of made a...
This is why you come to Clemson?
Like a commercial out of it.
Yeah.
It was a big football recruiting weekend from them. I mean, they ended up getting Sammy Brown after the weekend and everything.
Sammy Brown. Sammy Brown's a bum.
And another... They got
like
two other
five
stars after that.
He
was on that list.
I mean, it would have been cool for the rankings and stuff.
We struck out on a lot of guys that were on that list last week, Nate.
Did we?
Or this week. The Fountain Kid went to USC.
Yeah, that was out of nowhere.
Sammy Brown went to
That wasn't
Clemson,
a huge shock.
Which, yeah.
Little old Clemson.
And
J.J. Harrell decommitted.
He's going to Ole Miss, apparently.
Oh, we didn't want him anyway, right?
We're clearing room.
Yeah.
For stars.
I'm not worried about those.
Right.
We don't need four-star receivers anymore because we're getting five.
Because we want five. Yeah.
We win the Biletnikoff here now.
It's true. If you're not Biletnikoff material, just get.
We don't have time, really.
Right.
If you got to come
There's
in.
There's only one football, you know?
If you got to come in and be developed, I mean, really, we're busy, so. We got other things to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Hickman loves that negativity, though, boy. Woo-wee.
I'm not negative.
Hickman, it's okay. I mean, that's... Boy, we really struck out in recruiting in June.
I mean, we did. We were...
Nothing's final. Like, you can't say that until they... To early signing period.
We were crystal balled to get the Fountain Kid.
Well, then he visits USC. They dump $1 million in his lap and say, if you commit today, you get it. If not, you don't. What's he supposed to do? It's all a game. A disgusting game of money.
The money! It's a fully loaded Lexus!
Feels like we miss on a lot of these guys, though.
A tractor? Did we get one kid a tractor? Bags of cash?
Higman, you have to see Blue Chips.
He won't watch sports movies.
Blue Chips is less about the sport than any other sports movie.
Well, then it has a little bit of hope there.
I mean, there's less basketball in blue chips than there is baseball in Major League, and you like Major League.
There's a lot of baseball in Major League.
I know. Okay. I'm saying he likes Major League.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Shaquille O'Neal's in it?
Yes. And Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway.
Larry Bird. Nick Nolte.
It's a great movie.
It's good. The guy who kills himself in A Few Good Men.
Spoiler alert.
That was on my watch list, Chris.
You haven't seen A Few Good Men? Okay, sorry. Sorry, you've only had 30 years to do it.
He hasn't.
I've not been alive for all 30 of those.
Well, that's not my problem.
About how long Blue Chips has been out, too.
We told him he had to watch A Few Good Men like 3 years ago.
Getting around to it.
Let's see. A Few Good Men. 92. That's pretty good. It said 30 years. It's been 31. Blue Chips had to be what?
96? 90.
I thought it would be like a little before that. That's a great movie. 94.
Wow.
I'm ready for this documentary on the Florida Gators from 06 to 09.
Is this going to be like a whitewash of it or like a burn it down version? Like, who's doing this documentary?
Netflix likes to burn it down when they do a documentary.
Is Tebow going to be in it?
Probably not. Declined to comment.
Nah, you can't do a 06-09 Florida Gators documentary and not have Tim Tebow in it. I think they'll burn it down. I mean, they burn it down with the just Aaron Hernandez documentary, which he kind of deserved it. He was a serial killer.
I thought they did a good job of telling that story.
They made,
but also leaving you like a little bit feeling sorry for him at the end.
Isn't the founder of the McDonald's guy or the McDonald's documentary, isn't that
Ronald McDonald?
That's not Netflix.
I thought that was a Netflix
documentary.
Oh.
Is he talking about Supersize Me?
No. It's literally called The Founder.
That's just a movie.
Nah.
That documentary.
That was a documentary.
Have you seen Supersize Me?
Mm-mm.
Oh. You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that about a lot of people who eat McDonald's a lot?
Oh my gosh. You don't even know what that's about.
And they get big.
It's about a guy who eats only McDonald's for a month.
I think
it's
a month. That's gross. He tracks his, you know, his health.
Yeah.
To see how it goes.
And he actually gets healthier. Plot twist.
No.
And the one big kind of, I guess, like, hook is if they ask, does he want to supersize the meal, he has to say yes.
Yeah.
How much weight did he gain?
No, I can't remember.
I don't remember. It was more about how, like, he almost died.
Oh, well, yeah.
He pushed through, though.
My last McDonald's experience was really disappointing. But I don't think it was McDonald's fault.
Okay.
I think it was more on me. You know when you get so hungry? I mean, you got a jam-packed day. You're starving. You're dying. You just need food. You're so hungry that when you actually eat, eating makes you just sick.
No. I don't know what that is.
No, I don't know. I don't know what you're...
I've been so hungry that I just, like, start eating way too fast and then eat way too much and then feel kind of sick later.
Yeah.
But I don't feel sick while I'm eating.
I mean, I went from like 9 in the morning to like 9 at night. No food.
Yeah.
Was I there?
No.
Oh.
And so I went to McDonald's and got 3 triple cheeseburgers and a large fry.
Yeah.
And a 10-piece and a McFlurry.
Ate 2 of the triple cheeseburgers, some of the fries, and just... I just couldn't do it. Just felt sick. And I was still hungry, though. That was the thing.
You know, it could have been the triple cheeseburger, maybe. Maybe mix in a chicken sandwich or something here.
Sometimes when I hadn't eaten in a long time, I feel like, you know, they say your stomach actually, you know, constricts and it's small. So, like, you feel like you're going to eat a ton, but then you start eating and you just can't.
I didn't feel like I ate that much, though.
Yeah, 2 triple cheeseburgers and fries is not that much.
You should have eased into it, maybe.
Maybe.
It's a triple cheeseburger. What do you like?
They're not that big. It sounds really grand.
I've never had a triple cheeseburger. Oh my gosh, at McDonald's.
Nate. I haven't either.
You had okay.
I've had a double cheeseburger.
Do it. That's all I'll say.
I've had the Big Mac. I've had the quarter pounder with cheese.
You ever had a double quarter pounder with cheese?
I have had that once, maybe twice.
Do you remember?
One time I accidentally ordered it.
Oops. Don't want to waste this. Do you remember in Super Size Me, his first meal, like, I think his first meal was breakfast, wasn't it? The next morning?
Yeah.
And then he goes back for lunch and gets the double quarter pounder with cheese and just.
I don't remember that part.
Oh, yeah. That was funny.
Did you watch the, like, Super Size Me 2?
No.
In 2017?
No.
I haven't either.
Did you? What's it on?
Mm-mm. I don't know. I have to check.
Hickman, do you also think Like Mike is a documentary?
Never seen it.
How about The Little Mermaid?
Did you see the remake that just came
out? The Little Giants?
No, I didn't see it, but I talked to some young children who had, and they loved it.
Oh, really? The new Little Mermaid?
Probably, yes. Because they couldn't understand how woke it really was.
Okay. Or they just like Little Mermaid, and you're a jerk. They said it was really, really great.
Really, really great.
That's how 10-year-olds talk.
I thought it wasn't woke enough.
Actually, that was the 7-year-old.
I thought it wasn't woke enough. Wasn't it getting criticized because they just...
Oh, was it?
Yeah. They changed the race of Little Mermaid, but the woke side said it wasn't woke enough.
Sure.
I thought that was the problem. That's probably why your kids loved it, you know? They didn't.
Not enough non-binary fish in there.
Super Size Me was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary.
Really?
And it won Best Documentary Screenplay from the Writers Guild of America.
I will say, like, the stuff where he's, like, being handheld filmed is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But when they start doing all the graphics and the stuff, like, it was really well done. It's like he had all his footage, and then they sent it to some company who, like, really broke down the facts.
Yeah, as the film begins, Hickman...
What's his name?
Spurlock Morgan?
Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah. He's seen by three physicians, cardiologist, gastroenterologist, and general practitioner, as well as a nutritionist and a personal trainer. And he is, according to this, in above-average physical shape before he starts.
Okay, so like me.
All the health professionals predict the McDiet will have unwelcome effects on his body, but none expected anything too drastic, citing the human body's being extremely adaptable. Prior to the experiment, he ate a varied diet, but always had...
his girlfriend was vegan or
vegan
something.
Vegan evening meals to accommodate his girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
Alexandra is her
she
name.
Makes
she's,
him like
she's
a...
She's a vegan chef.
Yeah, she makes him like a vegetable pie or something the night before.
At the beginning of the experiment, he's 6'2", 185.
At the end, he's...
I don't know. Let's scroll to the bottom.
Dang it.
But I'll get there.
6'8".
He's 6'9", still 185, but he can dunk now.
Wait, I thought this was Super Size. This is the Air documentary. Actually, what is Air? I haven't watched it. Is it? I keep seeing ads for it.
It's a biopic on like
Michael Jordan and the shoe company.
Right?
No.
Yeah, I know it's about Nike. But
it's got like Ben Affleck and.
Is it good? Y'all seen it?
Oh yeah, it's really good.
I've heard it's really good.
He plays Ben Affleck plays Phil Knight and Matt Damon plays the Sonny guy.
Sonny Vaccaro.
Yeah, the guy who found Michael Jordan also was a big pioneer of NIL for college athletes.
Here were the rules, Hickman. He must eat 3 McDonald's meals per day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He must consume every item on the McDonald's menu.
At least once.
At least once over the course of the 30 days. He managed to actually do it in 9 days. In 9 days, he had eaten at least every item once. He must only ingest items that are offered on the McDonald's menu, including bottled water. All outside consumption of food is prohibited. Rough. He must supersize the meal if offered, but he cannot request the supersize on his own. He will attempt to walk around about as much as a typical United States citizen based on a suggestive figure of 5,000 standardized distance steps per day. But he did not closely adhere to this, as he walked more while in New York than when he was in Houston. All right, so that makes sense. And yeah, he started on February 1st with breakfast.
That would make griddle, I think.
I mean, Can't fault a man for that.
It's so funny when he starts, what is it?
After 5 days, he had gained 9.5 pounds.
I'm getting the McGurgles.
It is not long before he finds himself experiencing depression, and he claims his bouts of it, along with lethargy and headaches, could be relieved by eating a McDonald's meal.
They brainwashed the poor kid.
His general practitioner describes him as being addicted. At his second weigh-in, he had gained another 8 pounds, putting his weight at 203.5. By the end of the month, he weighs 210 pounds.
So that's 28 pounds?
25 pounds. He was 185.
Okay.
25 pounds in a month?
25 pounds in a month.
That's not terrible for only eating McDonald's. I was expecting like 40 plus.
Hey, Ben, you're on average for 300 pounds in a year.
I did that diet for 45 days, lost 25 pounds, and thought it was a damn miracle.
That's true.
I could put it back on in
9 days.
9 days of McDonald's. I mean, like, that's crazy. Because he could only eat McDonald's food for a month, Spurlock refused to take any medication at all. At one weigh-in, Spurlock lost a pound from the previous weigh-in, and a nutritionist hypothesized that he had lost muscle mass, which weighs more than an identical volume of fat. And another weigh-in, he said that he gained 17 pounds in a 12-day period at one point.
That's when he started hitting the double the double QPs right there.
Spurlock's then-girlfriend attests to the fact that he lost much of his energy and sex drive during his experiment. It was not clear at the time whether or not he'd be able to even complete the full month of the high-fat, high-carbohydrate diet, and family and friends began to express concern. On day 21, Hickman, he had heart palpitations. His internist advised him to stop what he was doing immediately and avoid any serious health problems. He compared Spurlock with the protagonist played by Nicolas Cage in the movie Leaving Las Vegas, who intentionally drinks himself to death in a matter of weeks. Despite this warning, Spurlock decides to continue the experiment.
That's his Michael Jordan flu game right there.
On March 2nd, Spurlock makes it to day 30 and achieves his goal. In 30 days, he has supersized his meals 9 times along the way, 5 of which were in Texas.
Yeah! You want to supersize some fries right there?
I guess so. His physicians are surprised at the degree of deterioration in Spurlock's health. He notes that he has eaten as many McDonald's meals as most nutritionists say the ordinary person should eat in 8 years. 90 meals, which is close to the number of meals consumed once a month in an 8-year period. How many times would you say you eat McDonald's per month, Hickman?
5. So I feel like it's not terrible.
Okay.
It's been 2 weeks since I last went, so.
The documentary's in text states that Spurlock spent 5 months to lose 20 pounds.
The next 5 months it took him to lose 20?
Yep. His then-girlfriend, now his ex-wife. Didn't work
out.
Don't ever ask Jake Miller how many times he eats at McDonald's in a month, though. It'll be mildly concerning.
Speaking of Jake, how many push-ups did you say you did yesterday?
Like 20.
I'm being told that is a lie.
By who?
I cannot reveal sources.
Who do you think?
If it's Jake, for starters, he didn't even start counting till I was on push-up number 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people? Just Jake was there?
He bet you that.
Was
Billy there?
Is it Billy? So it's Jake. shut up, Chris.
He bet you couldn't do 20 push-ups?
He just would not shut up until I did 20 push-ups because I made him do like 20 one time.
Oh, did he do them?
He did them.
Okay.
Was this really on company time?
Yeah.
Is there a video?
There is no video.
There is no video.
He hit a wall when he got once he got to 14. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, like, that's kind of about the time I hit a wall is when you get there. I couldn't tell you the last time I'd done a push-up, but
those trips to Dunlap for Hickman and Jake are a net loss on the cash flow. Yeah. The Bucky stop eats right into it. I'm being told it was 10 to 12.
No.
Before your arms gave out.
That's a lie.
Yeah, if I owned the Buc-ee's, I'd be making money.
Oh, baby.
Double
well,
time.
Well, there have been...
Texas cheesesteak burritos.
There have been cars out the wazoo at the Buc-ee's in Sevierville the past 2 months.
I don't doubt it. They're pulling in like, yeah, here we... Oh, that's sad.
Like construction, like workers, like trying
to
boogie.
I'd hope
so. When's it open?
26th.
Yeah. Okay. I actually got an inside scoop
Ooh.
Video yesterday.
We'll come back with that. Tell you what was on it next.
Okay.
Welcome back to 3 and Out.
Yeah, that plan really backfired.
Chris, there are counterclaims against the Super Size Me guy. We'll get into that a little bit later. But first, I got to hear about this Buc-ee's video. Then we got to go to the phone lines. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. Today went from a slow day to now it's just
breaking news.
Action packed. What's happening now at the Buc-ee's, Adam?
So there's been a lot of work going on here in the last couple of days.
We go to exit 407 with Adam Hickman on the scene.
I'm here at exit 407, guys.
I got sent a Snapchat video from a buddy of mine who's working up there.
Snapchat. That means a super secret.
On first glance, I thought he was just traveling. I thought the thing was open.
That's
how close we are.
Oh, okay.
Looks like the shelves were stocked with some merchandise, some clothes and hats and whatnot.
18 days?
Yeah, 18 days.
We need to.
Have they already started smoking the brisket? Seems a little early. Seems a little early.
They start doing like the Tennessee countdown with the jersey numbers.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like they had the cigarettes stocked up there, the dip, the tobacco products.
All the important stuff.
I mean, it looked like the Buc-ee's in Crossville. Mm.
The Oasis is almost complete,
but bigger.
What was the name of it? The exit? They had like named the exit something? The Great American Entrance or something?
Gateway to what was it, Hickman? It wasn't the Smokies. It was like Gateway to Adventure.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, off of exit 407 there?
Yeah.
It's very cringy. I don't want to talk about it.
Gateway to Adventure.
That's your exit.
Why don't we put a big arch over it, you know, and compete with St. Louis?
Mm, yeah. It's like you get off 407.
Maybe two big golden arches.
There's a McDonald's right up there. It's on the other side. Park.
The exit 407 arches brought to you by McDonald's.
At Buc-ee's.
The McDonald's M with a beaver clinging to it.
Eat McDonald's and then go hike it off in the Smoky Mountains.
It's actually kind of brilliant.
And grab you a Texas cheesesteak burrito for lunch.
In that book by, I think it's Bill Bryson, A Walk in the Woods, the Gatlinburg chapter's hilarious. Because he's like from, I mean, he starts like overweight and out of shape, but he does a good job of comparing how you can be on the Appalachian Trail in the Great Smoky Mountains and not really see much of it. Maybe see a few people for a day. Or you can be just right down the mountain, you know, packed full of essentially carnival activity.
I think it's funny when you hike in the Smokies that, like, not saying this to be mean, but you'll see larger people, you know?
Yeah, that is fun.
I'm glad they're
and
out
like,
there.
And, like, it's good. You go hike in Yellowstone or the Rocky Mountain National Park.
And you don't see those
not
people?
Not going to really see that much.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying, like the good beginner hiking over here in the eastern.
It's
side
really
of the
not
States.
Though. That's the funny part. That's
if you stick to the trail, yes. But if you don't know what you're doing,
well, I mean,
super dangerous.
The trails, even the trails we have, though, most of them are considered strenuous as compared to like the Shenandoah National Park and all that stuff. Anyway, let's go to the phone lines. We got Matt on the horn. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
What's up, guys?
Where were you yesterday when all the news broke?
Oh, dude, I had to take a literal day, man. I had to breathe. I was traveling too, but I had to sit that one out, fellas. That was a gut punch, man.
Yeah, because you got dunked on.
I dropped in my face. I still feel like they're dangling there, man.
Pretty rough.
You know what sucks about the whole thing, Nate?
What's that?
I think that the LIV Tour was right this whole time. That's what sucks, having to admit that.
Hey, at least you can, Matt. At least you can. But tell me more. What do you mean by they were right?
Well, I mean, just look at, you know, Jay Monahan. These guys come out and backstab all the guys that stood up for them. And, I mean, damn if Phil Mickelson and all the stuff he was arguing the whole time didn't come true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't argue with the facts that the PGA Tour is hiding something. They backstabbed their players. Obviously, they were the bad guys the whole time, and they're ran by horrible leadership.
Yeah.
Everything was a lie, man. I mean, everything except for what the LIV Tour said, and I got sucked into that crap, and look what happens, man. I feel bad for Tiger, Rory, and those guys who stuck it out and just fought tooth and nail for tradition and for history and for what's right. But, man, doesn't matter, does it?
Rory kind of went both ways in his press conference yesterday because he kind of defended Monahan. He stepped up the day before when that Grayson Murray or whatever stepped up and said he didn't trust Monahan, and Rory told him to play better, and he told Rory to F off.
Apparently they were all joking in that exchange.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently they were just goofing around.
Yeah, I think Rory's still pretty – he's not happy about it. You know, I think what really just aggravates me more than anything is, one, I was definitely wrong, you know, so I'll eat the crow on that. Two, that these guys come out, and it's so – I just hate the lying. When these changes and these big decisions are made, I hate when lies are brought out to the public like we're idiots. And the whole you know, the guy from DP Tour, that moron, and the Jay, were both the whole time arguing that this was not – there were no politics involved. There's nothing political. Well, guys, where was the Secretary of the United States the day the announcement was made? Yes.
Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia. You think that's coincidence that we've not been there in 2 years, but we happen to be there that day?
Makes you wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you, that raises just a couple of questions. So, you know, I don't know, man.
It's fun. It is very interesting to me that Rory McIlroy would say, 2 days after the announcement, that this is ultimately good for the game of golf, because that's literally the number one reason they gave for why it was, and that's what the LIV guy said. That's what Greg Norman said, whether it was PR or not, and it was PR, but he basically said this is good for the game of golf, and all these PGA Tour you know, defenders basically said he's crazy, this will destroy golf, it's terrible, and now they've done a 180.
I guess what sucks is we don't know if it's good for the game of golf. We're in the dark here because nobody knows yet.
Yeah, because we don't know what the PGA Tour, like what their actual status was. There was a really good article yesterday that kind of compared those two things. It was like, did Monahan just take the money because it was just – eventually he just kind of succumbed to the ease of doing that? Or was the PGA Tour in such bad shape that we didn't know how bad it was and he kind of had to do that just to save it, because otherwise it was just going to kind of eventually fall apart?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, they claim that the PGA is a nonprofit organization. Somehow it still kept that umbrella going through all this, even though, you know, what is that group in Saudi Arabia called, the money organization?
PIF.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. PIF. You know, that they own, you know, I don't know if you could argue that they own golf now. I mean, they purchased their way into it, and to sit there and say that it's good for the game of golf, I think, is just super naive, because we just don't know yet what's going to happen, what's going to change, what rules are going to be put into place. But, you know, hey, look, guys, I'll circle back, you know, and I'm still not a Phil fan. I still don't like the guys that made the decision to leave. But I'll be damned if you can't argue with their decision now, you know.
No, they came out smelling like a rose. They got their money, and now they don't lose any of their PGA privileges. You know,
well, Liv sticking around.
Yeah, I did see that, which is kind of weird. So I guess you can just play wherever you want, whenever you want. And then Rory wants the PGA Tour members that stayed to be compensated via the $3 billion that the PGA got. We'll see.
Well, they kept. I'll get out of here too, guys. But they kept asking them, you know, about, you know, all these guys with Jay and all these guys that made comments about the politics in Saudi Arabia, the treatment of women, the treatment of gays.
9/11.
All this stuff was brought up, which I don't go down that road if you want. I don't, you know, I think you separate sports. But Jay was adamant 6 months ago about how they were trying to separate themselves from that, how they're, mm-hmm. you know. And then he comes out in the interview the day of and says, well, we decided to separate that because we looked at other countries that we partner with that kind of have the same morals. It's like, dude, I mean, that's just a shady dude, man.
Yeah.
So it's like, it kind of makes me think, okay, maybe those guys that left for LIV and all these guys that were bashing Jay this whole time about how shady the PGA is are right. I don't know, fellas.
They didn't really get a lot of the big names, though.
Thanks for the call.
They got, what, three that you take back to the PGA Tour right now?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They won. I mean, that's all it took. It's crazy that that's all it took. They didn't need more to, like, fracture the whole thing.
I just can't. They were getting ready to fade. I mean, they were.
What, LIV?
LIV was, I mean, they were not doing well.
I thought you just said Rom was about to go.
Well, now he is. And they're in advanced talks with Hideki, too, because it doesn't matter now.
Right, yeah. So now they're going to double win.
I mean, I just saw a quote from, like, Alan Shipnunk, who wrote about all this. He says, a LIV executive discussed the future of the league. Now we can finally get Hideki and John Rahm. I would say every big name on the PGA Tour will get an offer, except Rory. Nobody wants that little bleep on their team.
So they're going to play PGA Tour events and then just play, like, these LIV events on the side kind of deal?
Yep.
I'm afraid. I just hope they don't just go play LIV and do what Brooks has been doing, just go play the majors, not give a crap about, you know, going to these other tournaments. I mean, Brooks is doing just fine.
Good Lord. Will that be LIV really winning?
Yeah. Because the majors don't really have much to do with PGA at all.
My wife asked a good question yesterday. She's like, how is there this much money in golf? It's not from ticket sales. It's, you know, it's not like it's not like you know, the NFL where you got, you know, you're going to put 60,000 in Titan Stadium every week at this rate with, you know, PSL mm-hmm. licensing and all and concessions, all this stuff. Obviously, there's only kind of four big tournaments like that. I mean, I'm sure. And I told her, I was like, I assume it's just the, you know, all the TV rights to broadcast the majors and broadcast the stuff and the sponsors that, you know, pump money into the game kind of so that they do have influence over all those fans that do come out and then watch the product, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. This might be kind of a bottleneck. Like, how much more money can even go into golf? Like, I don't think there's a lot more people watching golf to where it's making it more and more valuable. Like, the actual event.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, like, what, like,
how could the event get more,
I thought,
valuable?
I read yesterday that the ratings have been kind of down.
That would
this
make
year.
Sense to me. I mean, I feel like as there's more options of stuff to watch, stuff to do, stuff to, you know, it would, like, golf would have the same issues that some other of the slow sports have, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, she mentioned how when, you know, we were kids, sometimes, like, golf would be the only thing on TV on a Sunday afternoon. Now you
right.
can watch a million things on whatever, streaming or.
Yeah, you can go to golf tournaments pretty cheap.
Yeah, you could.
Get in, I mean, once you get in, there, you know, once you get in, it can be pretty expensive concessions.
Yeah, sure.
You
know,
especially if you want a Philly cheesesteak.
I mean, kids, there are kids these days that don't even really watch television in the traditional sense. They might just watch YouTube and just pick things that get through, or watch people play video games, watch other people play video games. Like, it's very personalized, I guess, the way you consume entertainment compared to when there were, you know, five network channels and you just, these were the things on TV.
I used to work for the First Tee, which is affiliated with PGA, you know, and mm-hmm. the amount of kids that, you know, we'd go to schools, the amount of kids that loved golf and, like, kids that came out to our summer camps was just wild in different golf courses we went to.
Yeah, I just don't know how many of those people actually sit down and watch it for three or four days when they're an adult, and that's what.
And you're also losing, like, the casual golf fan base now with guys like Tiger on the decline. Phil's kind of went AWOL for a bit, and now he's with LIV.
I don't know. Well, we can talk about when we come back, but maybe this shakeup it might actually help their viewership total for the whole game of golf, but because it's parsed into kind of two different tours, I don't know how that kind of plays. I'll be interesting to see how it goes. Final segment, hour one, next. Final segment, hour number one.
Hickman, I'm even getting the text now.
You can't trust those boys.
You did say, though, chest had to touch the ground. I mean, that's a legit push-up.
So if he really did 10, that's like 20.
Yeah, I was low.
We used to have, in gym class, we used to have those beepers. You could strap it to, for a push-up, you'd strap it to your, like, kind of around your bicep where the level would be on your tricep so that it would beep when you got to 90 degrees.
Ah.
And so that way there was no, it was standard for everybody.
Don't they make
you know?
Things that, like, twist you can do? Like
oh, yeah, like
the handle.
Handles?
Yeah.
I had some of those once.
What they call them? The
perfect
push-up.
No. Nah. Did you get shredded?
I was in the best shape of my life when I was doing that. I would do 300 a day.
300 push-ups a day?
Mm-hmm.
No.
When I lived in Nashville.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Do sets of 50.
Man.
Take a break. 50 more. Take a break.
Help that
50
cast.
More. Take a break. 50 more.
How many could you do now?
I don't know.
From now to the end of the show, if all you were focused on is doing push-ups.
To the end of the show?
Yeah.
Two hours. I don't know. We'll go out. We can go. I'll go out to zero here in a little bit. See what I can get.
Jake Miller texted intern Brett, all caps. His chest never touched the ground.
Jake Miller can't remember anything unless it's a slight at me.
You know what this is like? This is like supersize me in these counterclaims, Chris, you know?
Nate, I'm looking at that video.
Which video?
With all the forest fires starting simultaneously.
Uh-huh. Mm. Uh-huh. Makes you think.
It does make you think.
And now we got aliens.
Maybe they did it.
I don't know if you saw that, but it's one of the more interesting cases. It was in a Las Vegas, a homeowner called 911 and said that there were two creatures in their backyard that were between 8 and 10 feet tall that were not human. And they even have some interesting body cam footage from the event.
Man, with AI now, none of this stuff's real.
You got volcanoes erupting in Hawaii.
That I feel like they're always doing that.
That's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like.
Isn't there always one that's erupting in Hawaii? Like, yeah, all the time? It never stops? One of those weird ones that leaks into the sea. Mm. No videos for Las Vegas aliens. Sorry, Hickman.
There was a news report on it. You want me to send it to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Tom Naughton did a reply documentary to Supersize Me called Fathead. Quote, suggests that Spurlock's calorie and fat counts don't add up. He noted that Spurlock refused to publish the Super Size Me food log.
Maybe he just forgot.
The Houston Chronicle reported, unlike Spurlock, Naughton has a page on his website that lists every item, including the nutritional information, he ate during his fast food month.
Hmm.
After eating exclusively at McDonald's for 1 month, So-So Whaley said, quote, the first time I did the diet in April 2004, I lost 10 pounds and lowered my cholesterol by 40 points.
Did he do the same diet? Did he eat all the items, or did he stick to,
well, this
like
was
the
she? But of particular note was that she exercised regularly and did not insist on consuming more food than she otherwise would. Despite eating at only McDonald's every day, she maintained her 2,000 calories per day.
That's like one meal at McDonald's.
Maybe that's all she ate.
So, like, did you get a salad and not use the dressing? I mean, yeah, duh.
After John,
like, that's a
Kisna, a high school science teacher, lost 60 pounds while eating exclusively at McDonald's for 180 days, he said, quote, I'm not pushing McDonald's. I'm not pushing fast food. I'm pushing taking accountability and making the right choice for you individually. As a science teacher, I would never show Super Size Me because when I watch that, I never saw the educational value in that. I mean, a guy eats uncontrollable amounts of food, stops exercising, and the whole world is surprised he put on weight. What I'm not proud about is probably 70-80% of my colleagues across the United States still show Super Size Me in their health class or their biology class. I don't get it.
Wow.
As another counterpoint, the film features interviews with Big Mac aficionado Don Gorsk, who eats an average of 2 Big Macs a day, yet maintains his weight and cholesterol. So, a lot of people... I don't see how... First of all, if you lose 60 pounds, you weren't very healthy. Like, I mean, you know, you have to be overweight if you lost 60 pounds. It's kind of impossible if you're already at... So I don't know. I don't know how he did that or what he was doing. Maybe it was just, maybe he just wanted to prove that you could eat McDonald's and then.
Hickman, you should do a documentary called "Ring the Bell" and you just eat Taco Bell for a month.
Whew, that'd be pretty brutal.
You have to try everything on the menu once.
You can skip breakfast, but you have to eat it.
No, you don't have to skip breakfast. Swing by Taco Bell on the way.
Well, see, like the thing with Taco Bell, they always advertise breakfast on TV, but if you go to like. You go to 10 Taco Bells, 3 of them might actually have breakfast.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Mm.
At least in Sevier
County.
That's
what I was worried about.
Oh, Sevier County, Sevierville. Yeah.
Yeah, Sevierville.
Sevierville, yeah. Have you ever had Taco Bell breakfast?
What if he did a Bucky's challenge? He just ate Bucky's.
You won't.
How are their breakfast options?
What are the odds we can get Hickman to wake
up? It's at least 24/7.
What are the odds we can get him to wake up early occasionally and get us breakfast from Bucky's?
So get there at about 4 a.m.
Why 4? It won't be that busy around 5:30, 6 o'clock. You'd have time to run in there and grab some burritos and tots.
Those two do need to try the Texas cheesesteak burrito.
Well, you should bring them one.
Might do that.
You guys could split it.
But you wouldn't want to split it once you put it in your mouth.
Is that going to work at 7 in the morning, though?
No, you can just take it and heat it up later.
No, it'll work. Trust me.
Okay.
There is never a bad time of day for a
Texas
cheesesteak
burrito. Breakfast
burritos,
too. Breakfast tacos, breakfast burritos, sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits,
people
tots.
Eat steak for breakfast all the time.
Yeah, I feel
steak
like
and eggs.
I feel like 30 days, all you eat is Bucky's.
I feel like it wouldn't be that bad.
I mean, there's like the Bucky's Challenge where you just live in there for 24 hours. Do they have any seating in there?
They got the camping chairs they sell.
But like around the deli, like is there? I didn't think so.
No, it's designed to where
you
can't sit down.
Do they have tables outside? Sometimes gas stations have little tables outside.
I don't think they do. It's where they sell their grills and their smokers.
You can't hang out.
It's get in,
keeping you moving.
Grab and go. Interesting.
Sure, I could work something out with them.
We'll come back.
The king.
Yeah, you are.
Are you cutting the ribbon?
You are the king of Kodak.